Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Tina Quigley is General Manager for the Regional Transportation Commission of Southern Nevada for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program Tina Quigley. She's the General Manager of the Regional Transportation Commission of Southern Nevada. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Thank you, Sam. Always enjoy my time with you.
One of the things that I really enjoy about talking to people who run RTCs and airports is that you have to plan out 20, 30 years in advance. And yeah. With the population anticipated for the Las Vegas Valley of 3 million people, what are you looking at that far out?
So here we're kind of at a really tough time, right? Because there's so much change going on in terms of technology and modes of transportation and choices that we're going to have, that we need to not only be planning for now, but making sure that our plans are flexible enough that we can accommodate whatever new modes and choices come along for moving people from where they are to where they need to go. And so we can't stop making decisions. We have to continue to invest in infrastructure because we are going to have to continue in order to accommodate the people who are moving here and how we're growing. But we also want to make sure we don't invest in a lot of money in infrastructure that might be or systems that might be outdated, in the next 10 years. So it's kind of a challenging point. You really don't know what's going to happen, but you know that there are changes going on. So what we can do is that we can, through our regional planning, we're working with a lot of Southern Nevadans right now, to make sure that we're really trying to plan for things like transit-oriented development, things like making sure that the roadway infrastructures that we do invest in have got all the fiber that they're going to need to accommodate smart car or connected cars or autonomous vehicles. Kind of this blend of what we can control right now is a blend of making sure we've got a strong foundation of technology, the infrastructure you need for accommodating technology, and then also doing responsible urban planning for encouraging people to live, as opposed to sprawl, really to the extent that we can encourage developments that offer choices where you kind of live and work and have access to high capacity transit in your life.
Do you envision, in the way that you have park and ride now, so people can drive to a parking lot and they get onto public transportation, that you're going to have a similar thing for autonomous vehicles, that the autonomous
sure.
vehicles won't go all the way
right.
to somebody's home, but they would be able mm-hmm. to drive to a facility and get into that track then?
Sure. I do see a blend of that type of concept where, yes, maybe we do have park and ride facilities right now for transit. And you're right, there'll probably be park and ride facilities for autonomous shuttles. But I also think that we're going to see the technology become so personalized that, and the algorithm so astute, very complex, but where I can enter in, at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, I need to get from my house to work. And maybe it's a subscription-based service. And it might tell me, okay, you know what, you need to walk a quarter mile, and a car will be there to pick you up at 7:45, and it will also pick up X the number of people in that location, and maybe in another location to get you to work by 8 o'clock or whatever it is. I see it as kind of a blend of personalized shuttle service, but also fixed route transit as well. So, instead of having fixed route transit, okay, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say almost like an even higher tech version of Uber Pool.
Yeah, exactly. And I do see we're going to get to a point where we probably don't own cars, or we don't own as many cars, because it's just going to be so much easier and more cost efficient to be a part of a pooled service, as opposed to, having to not only own and pay lease payments and fill up gas and carry insurance on a car, but, you know, think about the fact you also keep a garage. You actually have real estate that you assign specifically for this vehicle that you probably only use in your life about 5% of the time.
In the planning for I-11, which obviously is huge, all this technology has to go into that. I mean, you really, you know, because, I mean, construction, I mean, you've had a limited amount of construction around Boulder City, but the major construction is going to be quite a ways out. But it's going to have to accommodate all these things you're talking about.
It will, yeah. And the governor made it very clear to us as we were building I-11 that we did need to make sure that we were installing the fiber that we were going to need for the connectivity of the future. And really, when you think about connected and autonomous vehicles, and what's going to be needed in terms of infrastructure, it's the fiber, it's the wireless, it's the ability to have wireless and communication to the vehicles.
Now, with Switch having their loop that goes from Southern Nevada to Northern Nevada over to San Francisco, back to LA, and down to down to Las Vegas, does that pretty much push the concept of where I-11 should go toward that 95 corridor?
I wouldn't say that technology investment alone is what's going to push that, but it certainly is an asset. I think that as they've been making their decisions for, and they being the state, the NDOT making their decisions for the alignment, they've really studied the destination and origination demands, the demands of the flow of traffic. But the fact that that technology exists is certainly an added advantage.
The president has not revealed his infrastructure plans yet, but are you optimistic from the discussions you've had recently in D.C.? You were just back there in September, that we are going to see an infrastructure plan come out, and potentially that could help the funding for I-11?
I think optimistic might be a strong word.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I think that there's a lot of work to be done in Washington still before we're going to have that infrastructure package. And I think that there's going to be a lot of conversation about how much should we be. I don't know because it's gone back and forth, but a lot of encouragement for public sector, private sector partnerships, trying to attract private money into infrastructure investments. And I really don't know what's going to come out of it. I want to be optimistic, but I'm also, we have to be realistic as well.
The other thing that plays into this and all across Nevada, not just Southern Nevada, but all across Nevada, is the unemployment situation. I mean, with what we've got going on, the recovery from the floods in Texas and hurricane damage and in Florida, the fire damage, for example, across California, construction is going to be at a premium. And with unemployment rates already at 4%, how do you think this is going to impact the potential to have any kind of major infrastructure projects?
You hit on something. The construction resources at this point are a big concern for me. I think that in Northern Nevada, you guys have, you've got the concept of fuel revenue indexing, or tying motor vehicle fuel tax to inflation. So you certainly have a revenue source for effectively building the roadway infrastructure that you need. And likewise, down in the South, we passed question five, which allows us also a revenue source based on fuel tax. So we are ready to go. And we have told people that there's going to be jobs. There's going to be construction going on based on this revenue source. I could worry very much now about being able to get the resources, being it the aggregate, the cement, the steel, whatever it is, being able to get that to our projects when there are going to be such demands for those exact same resources as they're rebuilding all those different areas, the wildfire areas, the hurricane areas, the storm damage areas. It will be interesting to see if we can get those resources, and if we can, what it does to supply and demand in terms of cost.
And I know this is not your purview, but I mean, this also brings into play immigration in the sense that it would be really nice if the government could figure out a legal way that we could import workers, because we sure as heck are going to need them. Let's take a break. More with Tina Quigley when we come back.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Tina Quigley. She's the general manager of the RTC of Southern Nevada. I wanted to ask you, and I know that this is not directly under you, but just to get your thoughts on it, the expansion of the monorail initially to Mandalay Bay for the Raiders Stadium, and then potentially to the airport, potentially to downtown. What time period would you allot for the reality of those things occurring?
Sure. Well, I think there's a driving, and now remember, I don't oversee the monorail, but we do have a synergistic relationship with them. I'm excited. I think the call to action for the expansion of the monorail down to Mandalay Bay is certainly the stadium. And I support and applaud that. And I'm glad that that conversation is moving forward. It probably won't be constructed by the time that they are opening the stadium, but certainly hopefully it'll be in short order afterwards. What this does is a couple things. But not only does it benefit the stadium, and we'll have a lot of ridership because of the stadium and the events at the stadium, but also this system will ultimately connect three major convention centers in Southern Nevada: the Mandalay Bay Convention Center, ultimately the plans are to connect the Sands Convention Center, they're talking about that, and then, of course, the Las Vegas Convention Center. That's over 9 million square feet of exhibition space that now, you know, the Las Vegas Convention Authority can go out and market to these really large conventions or shoulder conventions. And it's all connected via a mode that can get you there in 10 minutes or less. So you don't have to get into traffic and fight traffic. In 10 minutes or less, you could be at a completely different convention center. So that's a really great marketing tool beyond just moving people for the stadium. Now, I have gone and toured, in preparing for this stadium, a team of us gone and toured other stadiums to learn about transit and transportation and parking. And what we've learned is that most of them do have some form of mass transit that gets people in and out. And you know, we toured Atlanta, where we learned that 30% of their attendees on any given game day have ridden MARTA, which is their light rail system. In Oakland, they were telling us that over 40% of their attendees, their local attendees, have ridden BART to get to the station. In Minneapolis, there actually is no parking on site. It's all connected from private parking lots. But the only thing that does connect is their light rail system. So they have no on-site parking, but they do have a light rail system that comes directly and stops at the stadium. So excited that now we will have some form of higher order or higher capacity transit that will get people to the stadium. It's going to be an important part.
Do you think that expanding to the airport is realistic within, say, the next 10 years?
I'm not the person to answer that. I would love to say yes, but you would really have to talk to the monorail. The monorail is a privately owned business. So for them, they don't get tax dollar subsidies. Their decision really needs to be based on ROI, return on investment, and ridership. And they do know that they've got the ROI for going to the Mandalay Bay. They're at this point, last time I talked to their CEO, Curtis Miles, they were not convinced that they had the ridership levels they would need for a strong return on investment in going to the airport.
And there would be, I would imagine, tremendous opposition from the taxi cab industry.
You know, we talk a lot with, we've actually ended up partnering more and more with the taxi cab industry. And they've got so many other issues that they're dealing with that they don't really see that connection of whether it's light rail or monorail going to the airport as being a primary concern.
All right, let's take a break. Coming up more with Tina Quigley after this.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Tina Quigley. She's the general manager of the Regional Transportation Commission of Southern Nevada. Down in Las Vegas a couple of months ago, it was amazing driving around the Spaghetti Bowl and seeing these looked like alien obelisks that had landed in downtown. How is the project going? At what point will this be wrapped up?
So that is an NDOT project, and you need to talk with them for specifics. But I do know that I'm proud of that project in that it is coming in ahead of schedule. They actually have had some construction cones come down earlier than they expected, and they've moved on to other phases. So very proud about that. I know that that's impacting everybody's life, including mine, because I work downtown. And from what I understand, the project is it's supposed to be completely done. I believe it's the end of next year. But you'd have to talk with NDOT for specifically.
Let me ask you about this in terms of the Strip. Do you see a time in the near future where private vehicles are no longer going to be allowed on the Strip just because of the congestion?
You know what? I don't. I don't see a time where private vehicles will be completely precluded from experiencing the Strip, because we have to be clear, experiencing the Strip is why people come to Las Vegas. They want to experience the Strip. They want to see the lights. They want to be a part of that energy. And a part of that energy does come from, you can either walk it, but the other way is to drive it. So I don't see that going away. I do think that we'll probably have different choices and modes, and probably some type of high-capacity transit, whether it's light rail or dedicated lane, some type of dedicated lane system so that we can move people much more quickly than they and not have to get in a car to experience it. I think we'll have expanded pedestrian amenities. I know they're working on that right now. But I got to tell you, I don't think that I'll see a time, and I am not one of those decision makers. That's going to be between the resorts and the county. But I think the ability to drive the Strip in your own car will probably be something that would be hard for those decision makers to preclude.
And, you know, you talk of light rail down the Strip, which has been discussed many times. How difficult would that be to pull that off construction-wise?
Well, I think the construction-wise is definitely something that would be absolutely huge. Cost would be absolutely huge. I do believe there are other technologies that are coming forth right now that may not require a traditional steel wheel.
That might
make it a lot easier. I do think, though, you're going to have to get to a point where you do have a dedicated lane for some type of mass transit. You have got to be I tell people all the time, there's only so much asphalt and green time that you can give to a corridor before you have complete breakdown. And once you get to that breakdown, the only thing you can do is to move more people in a smaller geographic space. And that only comes with high capacity transit.
Now you're not thinking Hyperloop, are you?
No.
I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. I love the Hyperloop idea too, but this isn't applicable.
Your highest profit bus route is the one that goes along the strip, correct?
It is. Yeah. It's the only system it's the only route in the United States that makes a profit. You don't go into the transit industry to make money. You go into the transit business transit is about a community. It's a community need. It fills a community need, so it can move people. And then it also is an economic development generator.
Where are we with the light rail along Maryland?
So that study is wrapping up, and we're wrapping up the environmental part, and it will go out for public comment. I believe it is early next year, and we'll see what happens from there. Now, for that project to move forward, we would need some federal funding. We think we can get the thing done if we can get 50% federal funding, but if we can't, then we'll have to talk about other ways of funding that project.
And where is the route? Give us the start and end.
Okay. So it's a very appropriate route. This route is actually, I do hope that we get the opportunity to compete for federal funds, because it is an insanely competitive route. I mean, it would just kick butt over routes in Kansas City or Tulsa, Oklahoma, or wherever else they're currently building rail. We're talking about connecting our airport it's a north-south corridor. Maryland Parkway runs straight north-south, and it connects the airport to UNLV, to a major mall, the Boulevard Mall, to our medical district, the Sunrise Medical District, to downtown. And then we talk about turning it left once it gets, or turning it to the west once it gets downtown, and taking it to our new UNLV medical district, medical school area. And in doing so, you have connected so many different destinations and so many different employment centers within a close proximity of so many rooftops that the ridership is actually really high. It will be high compared to but by the evaluation standards that the feds use in choosing systems they're going to invest in. So it's a great corridor. Ultimately, it's about 8.7 miles, so almost about 9 miles. But it's one that we hope we get the ability to compete for federal funds on, because it truly is one that will accomplish two things. It will move people. Right now, Maryland Parkway is one of our highest ridership routes. I think we have over 9,000 people a day riding that route. But also, it's got a lot of opportunity for economic development. That is a corridor that is ripe and right for developer investment. And we hear from developers all the time, when is this going to happen? They want to invest. They want to build live-work type environments. They want to build stores and employment centers. Just waiting. So.
Well, we keep our fingers crossed for you. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Tina. Thank you for doing this.
Jim.
We'll look forward to talking to you again soon. And we'll be right back.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done and look to your future success. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
On our next broadcast, Reno Mayor Hillary Sheevy. We'll see you then.